WA E-Learning Experience 2006, showcasing WA LearnScope projects.
Yeah, so Great Southern Faith is Albany, in case you didn't know. So we're both PDA addicts from way, way back, and we became aware that PDAs were being used a fair bit in the health industry. And
in case you can't see behind me,
there's some drug names there. So yeah, the more we looked at the health industry, the more we saw PDAs being used. Okay, yeah, so one of the exciting things we found was that Silver Chain were out there using PDAs. Their PDAs are connected to a telephone. And Jane, would you like to talk about that?
Yep, sure. So after ringing the hospital in Albany to ask about Silver Chain and to ask about PDAs and then ringing Silver Chain, the response I got from them was that no, they didn't use smartphones and they didn't use PDAs. But upon further investigation, they did. They just didn't realise the technology they were using was called PDAs or smartphones. What it enabled them to do was access the database in Perth directly. So they had access to doctors. If they needed to ask advice on treatment of a patient, they could. If the doctor needed to be able to see what they were talking about, the nurses can take photos and it's uploaded straight away so the doctors can actually see what the nurse is talking about. The other thing that it's helped with Silver Chain is tracking the nurses. And I'm not talking about tracking the nurses to make sure they're doing their job. I'm talking about tracking the nurses so if they're late for a visit, they know where they are, they can locate them, and there's no problems, I guess, with security like they used to be, sending a nurse out on their own. So we investigated that. We've got PDAs in for our nursing staff because we wanted them to be able to be familiar with what was being used in the workplace, and we wanted them to be able to teach their students the use of PDAs. Leading on from that, there is so much out there for the medical world that you can load onto your PDAs. One example of that is MIMS. And what's MIMS?
MIMS is a drug book, basically. Every drug and what you prescribe it for is in MIMS. Now, the software we're running here is showing you exactly what's happening on my little PDA here, in case you're wondering. So let's look up a drug. Oh, what looks interesting? let's look at flu vaccine. And there's a variety of flu vaccines. Yep, so it goes and describes what that drug is, and you can see there, it's got contraindications, it's what the dosage, all those sort of things, but all the drugs are there. Now, MIMS comes, any medical professionals here? MIMS comes in
a very large book.
Very large book. That's considerably smaller than the very large book. So this software is not cheap. That's $600 a license. So it's not cheap, but for a medical professional, it's wonderful to have it there, basically
and
at your fingertips.
The 12-month subscription entitles you to a monthly upload, so you know that you're up to date with the latest that is out there, whereas with the book, of course, you'd be buying a new one each year whenever there's a new edition. There's a large cost involved with that, and of course the portability of this one is pretty phenomenal.
So from our project was basically driven by our professionals. Oh, sorry, I just touched something, didn't I? Yeah, so our health professionals drove what they wanted, and so their choice is basically, are they aiming for as a health tool? Are they aiming for it as a lecturer tool? So on the health tool side of it, you know, this was one of the things available to them. But as time went on with our project, the lecturer tool became the more predominant thing that they wanted their PDA to be able to do. They still wanted the health software, but they wanted it to work for them as a lecturer. Now, I'm just going to have to swap PDAs here.
Dangerous.
Yes, oh, it's dangerous. Everyone stand back.
Just while we're doing that, can we just take a step back and define what PDA stands for?
Yeah,
it's in with smartphones and the other technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the technology is getting very confusing.
So a PDA is a personal digital assistant. And a PDA can either be a standalone personal digital assistant or it can have the telephone integrated into it. When that happens, it becomes a smartphone. And it is a grey area. There's a lot of phones out there like the Nokia that offer you calendar and other things, and they do call themselves a smartphone. What you need to be careful of is that the smartphone you buy has the operating system that will allow you to do what you need to do on your computer. The Silver Chain used Sony Ericsson 800i is the model, and the reason that we didn't buy Sony Ericsson smartphones is because the operating system they use is Symbian. We really needed the Windows platform so that we knew we had compatibility throughout the college. Does that help answer your question?
And also, I presume the PDAs, they synchronise with your other technology like laptops and PCs?
That's exactly right.
By being nearby, or do you have to go through a process to synchronise?
Yes, you have to partner them. Usually you do that via a cable. We have his and hers means of synchronising. He likes the cable and I like Bluetooth. Bluetooth is a wireless form. So, yeah, there's many ways. There's a few ways that you can connect, and you make your choice. So long as the PDA is Bluetooth enabled, and so is your laptop, you can do it. In terms of
storage?
Well, that can be enhanced by buying SD cards, and you can actually buy up to, well, four gig is fairly normal that you can get now. We've got 1 gig cards. The commonplace one to buy now is 2 gig. I think you can get up to 8 gig for your camera, so obviously you'd get up to 8 gig for this. This is a standard SD. The new ones, like the one that Spoilt Sue Waters has, and Spoilt Kathy Kay, these little beasties here are telephone-enabled PDAs. They're just beautiful. And they use a mini SD, so it's a bit smaller. So that's a mini SD card. Can you see Sue holding it up? Yeah. Just look at the difference in size. You need to be careful when you buy your equipment that you know what you're buying. If you've got...
it comes in a box.
And what's the...
what sort of costs are we looking at?
For?
PDA.
To get a good phone-enabled PDA, $1,000 to $1,500, although these ones were $800, is that right? Those little HPs were cheaper.
Who bought it for you,
Ken?
I
have friends. But remembering you need a phone plan, and one word of warning, and you need to take heed, if you do buy a telephone-enabled PDA, smartphone, and you are going to use it to surf the net...
don't podcast, don't download.
Well, do your major downloads on your laptop, but make sure you change your plan so that it is the plan you want. The default plan from Telstra can rack up to $2,000 in a month, just normal use, and it didn't... I think we paid $30 a month, yes, for our plan, and we didn't exceed the download. Well, the next generation, we're going bling shopping after this. There's a new one out called the Jazz Jam. It's an iMate product, and it's Next G. It's not 3G, it is Next G.
So we skip 3G and go straight to Next G.
Yours is 3G.
No.
Yeah.
No,
it's
not.
Not?
No, it's not 3G.
No, I didn't think so.
What's yours? Just GSM?
Yes.
Oh, GSM.
So price-wise, I wouldn't be buying a PDA anything less than $500. Apparently some manufacturers are putting out some old parts, packaging them together, so they're slow, they've got small memory, so be very wary if the price tag is too low.
The Dells were $600?
Yep, $600.
Is what they're very good.
Yeah. MIMS, which you just saw up there before, won't actually even run on those cheapy PDAs. There's not enough speed, not enough memory in them. So 600 minimum, up to about 1200 is the one that we're going to look for later on, the one that's only been out a couple of weeks. With the phone, with the camera, with the flash, the video, all the fruit. Mm. So yeah, these are PDAs, personal digital assistants. They soon become part of you. We can't really imagine... we can't really imagine having these things and just handing them out to students, because a lot of their use is managing you. I have a number of PDAs. I lent one of them to another staff member, and she said after a week, I am sick of being told 5 times a week I have to go to the gym, because in mine it says reminder, gym. So, and she says, I'm sick of being told about going to the gym. So yeah, there's my day next Wednesday with my appointments in, and it is wonderful because these little things beep. You set the time before that they beep 5 or 15 minutes before. So when I'm with him, Henrik, anyone know Albany?
Know these people?
Henry, there's only one thing in Henry Hat Road, and it's the rubbish dump. That's where I am. I'm listening for the beep, saying, okay, get out of here, you've got to go to Mercer Road. And it is wonderful when you're in your appointments to hear that little reminder beep, because especially with trainees that we visit a lot, time is of the essence. You've got to be out from one and across to the other one. So as an organiser, they're wonderful. So your contacts are in there, your calendar is in there. And a lot of people say, oh, it's only a fancy organiser. Well, it's a great organiser as far as we're concerned.
And there are some converts that we never would have thought would be converted. But the one thing you have to remember, a PDA, you can use at work, and you will find after a very short time that there's a crossover into your private life, and it just becomes your personal digital assistant. We thought initially that we could share them, that we could have one the whole section could use. That is not the case. You absolutely need your own PDA. And it does cross over. Your home and your work life crosses over. It's all in one unit. Yeah.
How do you address the
privacy issues with PDAs and technology?
With regards to?
Patients, clients, whoever.
We actually thought that would be a huge issue with the hospitals, and I spoke to the Don at Albany, and security, surprisingly enough, was not their main concern. Reliability was, and whether or not the nurses would take them on, but security was not their prime concern because their IT is set up so that they have a secure network at the hospital already. But yeah, good point. That I thought, surely you're not going to use PDAs, but they're quite happy.
Hospitals aren't very keen on mobile phones or using wireless on PDAs because it can interfere with, you know, especially in intensive care with neurological measuring that's going on. So yeah, wireless use on the PDA is generally not encouraged in hospitals, and Albany is no exception to that.
But do they have, like, okay, so I'm thinking of our organisation where we do a lot of country visits.
Mm.
What's the coverage like?
Well, the coverage is improving. With CDMA, you've got very good coverage. I know up in Derby they've been using them for their regional visit, and they really are out in the sticks. They were using it more for collection of stuff, and then when they dock, when they get back, they download. But if they have the coverage, then of course they can transmit. Yeah.
Just a note on that CDMA, since Telstra switched over just recently, our CDMA coverage
has dropped
dramatically. Well, we do a trip from, say, Geraldton to Mullewa.
Yeah.
Full bar all the way.
Yep.
Now, as soon as you get over the hill, 10k's out of town, you drop out.
I live 8k's from the centre of Albany. My CDMA reception used to be okay,
yeah,
as long as I went out to my water tank and stood on the rise. They've just switched again in Albany, and now I don't get GSM or CDMA coverage. At home, 8k's from town.
Yeah, 95% of Australia's covered. That's a half. That's
there's a very large 5%. Yeah.
A kilometre from the post office.
95% of subscribers are covered, but
yeah.
But that's primarily why we did this checklist, was because we are often visiting people who don't have coverage. So in the city it's all very well to use ASRI or whatever to collect and upload, but in the country we can't do that. So that's why Robert and I set out to find something to capture evidence to then download back at base and stop that double data entry, which means errors usually.
So yeah, one of the competitors with PDAs is Ultra Mobiles, which you may have heard of. Now their price tag is coming down a bit, but at the moment it's about 4 or 5 times the price of a PDA. If you get an Ultra Mobile, you can run standard Microsoft software like Excel and Access, but these don't. And so that's one of the compromises to going to a PDA, in that you can't run all the wonderful things that you used to be able to run on your laptop, which you can run on an Ultra Mobile. So yeah, we were hunting around for software, and as I said before, we chose Visual CE as our development platform for writing our checklist software. So basically the way it works, this, which you saw on Andrew's slides before, this prototype, so you choose the name of your person that you're assessing.
So this is running on the local machine, it's not a web type?
This is running on the PDA. So running on the PDA is this data collection form, putting it into tables, which then later on will come back to the home computer into an Access database or an SQL database. Okay, so we're going to be assessing communicating effectively in health, and we've got a number of criteria here. So the assessor is checking the student with their communications. This is cross-cultural communications. So you can see there the questions are there about interpreters and did they understand. And as you observe these things, you tick all the boxes. I'll just go through that. Don't have to worry whether they actually did do these things or not. Okay, so I've ticked all the boxes, I think. I'm going to go to the sign-off sheet.
Yep, I did tick all the boxes. There's a tick come up on the end that, you know, everything that they needed to do has been demonstrated. If that tick isn't on, we go back and see, you know, what did they miss.
They can then sign, and we can sign. And those signatures will get saved with these records when they go back to their database.
So your signatures in, do you enter them onto the form, or do you have them
cached
somewhere and bring them up?
No, this is entered on. Yep, so it's like when you collect a parcel at the post office.
Yeah,
yep. Exactly the same as that. I'm signing here on the PDA.
Do you then email that?
So,
or do you keep them just on the PDA?
Yep, so there's a number of things we can then do.
Yep.
It can stay on the PDA, but our intention was always that it went back to a host system,
yep,
and it can go back there wirelessly or via telephone or via cable or Bluetooth. So yeah, via cable or Bluetooth, take this back into near proximity of your computer, upload them back up to your database.
So did you develop the code that's behind that?
Yes. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Your visual CE, when you buy it for $600, just sits there and looks at you.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
That's why I asked that question.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, so yeah, we developed the code that's sitting behind this.
Alright.
Yep, but we have some converts in the room.
Some champions, yep.
We ran a nerd school up here at Challenger.
Oh, yeah, that was
nerd school.
We're above that.
You were big nerds,
you're
I have to say.
You're a nerd with a silent P.
Yes, so these are this is our Perth branch of the nerds who have also been operating in Visual CE.
No, I didn't operate on Visual CE. I've been
learning to be IT. Oh, yeah, part of nerd school is...
You can fail and still be okay. You're still a nerd.
You find out whether it's for you.
I didn't fail.
So going to nerd school, you find out what it can do. Whether you're capable of developing it yourself or whether you want to get someone else to develop it. So Sue made the judgment. So Sue found out what it could do, but she asked somebody else to write it for her using Visual CE. Yeah, so that's basically our data collection. That comes, you saw the screenshots before on Andrews, those of you who are here. It goes back to a database. It is there as a record. Now, what we had hoped for was then to take successful completion of this task, tick, 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 back into ASRI. Those of you from TAFE will know all about ASRI. We wanted that to upload to ASRI and say, yes, they have completed that task. But we're having negotiations still with the ASRI people. Is that polite?
That's polite.
Yep, that's polite.
Sorry, I'm beginning, I'm sorry.
This is in the PDA projects, so which ran parallel to LearnScope. So
that's through the department?
Through the department.
They're not LearnScope.
It's an option.
It's... Yeah.
Same dog, different leg action.
Sorry,
yeah.
You've got noticed.
so we got funded a couple of hours a week for a semester.
These PDAs you were talking about, you're using very much from an assessor's perspective. Not, you haven't given these out to the students, is that right?
At this stage, they're not being given out to the students.
Okay, so it's just your personal work tool rather than a training tool used by the participants.
Sorry, with the health people, as I said before, that. Their judgment was, yes, they've got MIMS on there, they're showing the students that. But to them, they're finding more value from the lecturer point of view. You know, so that it's still important for them to show MIMS, but that's not the most important thing.
Thanks to participants that allowed us to record their presentation.